He's here, isn't he? Just wait a minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Amen. You got your faith switch on, right? Turn it on. Amen. Turn your faith switch on. Let's pull out what he wants to say. Amen. Turn it. Get your faith switch on. Cut it on. Cut it on. If you don't have it on, cut it on. We want to say what he wants us to say in the way he wants to say it, in the manner he wants to present it. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be here. It's a new day for all of us. We're closer to his coming than we've ever been. We all know that, correct? Amen. But at the same time, the greatest opportunities that we have to draw near to him are here today. Amen. I could get up here and we could talk about our redemption tonight, and we could talk about who we are in Christ. We could talk about the spirit within, the spirit upon. We could talk about what faith is and what faith is not. But tonight, to start with, I want to exhort you and encourage you and admonish you and to even warn you where we are in the time of the church age. We all agree, I hope, that as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, at the close of the church age, we have a promise that the path of the righteous is to get brighter and brighter to that perfect day. Amen? We have a promise that the glory of the latter house will supersede that of the former. Amen? That's a promise we have. We have a promise that where sin abounds, grace abounds, correct? We have those promises. But at the same time, we have what's called a temporal truth. If you know anything about the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters deal with our position in Christ, and the next three chapters deal with positional truth. In other words, what we're to do since we are in Christ. Your temporal truth is what you're to do now. So tonight I'm going to exhort you on this truth, that we're living in the end of the age, but since we're living in the end of the age, we're also at a point that men's hearts will fail them for fear, because everything that will be shook will shake. I'm going to read you Amplified Translation of the 21st chapter of Luke, the 26th verse. I didn't have that in my notes, but when I sat down during prayer, the Lord quickened that to me. If you know the Gospels, Matthew's Gospel, which we'll go to a verse there, in Luke 21, is called the Olivet Discourse. It's where Jesus talks about the end of days and what's going to be going on. I want to read you this verse. This is the Amplified Translation, 26th verse, the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel says, men swooning away and expiring with fear and dread, apprehensive in expectation of the things that are coming on the world, for the very powers of heavens will be shaken and caused to totter. That's what the Word says. That's what Jesus said, amen? Jesus said that. Amen? Now, well, brother, are you trying to scare me? No. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm exhorting you to draw near to the Father. Draw nigh to God. Some months ago, coming in this house on a Wednesday, I sat over here, and as I came in the door, I saw a hand. When Pastor James got up here to begin the ministry, I saw a hand doing this. And that night, you know what Pastor James ministered to us by the Spirit of God to us to exhort us to do? Come close. Come close. Come close. You know a present truth that the Lord's saying to the body right now? Come close. Draw near. Draw near. Can't play no more, folks. Can't play no more. Draw near. Now that verse is going to happen. Now will that happen after we're raptured? You know, there's a little bit of debate maybe there. Bottom line is this, brothers and sisters. As we get closer to the catching away of the church, every exhortation in the epistles points to telling you and I to be our closest. When it talks about the coming of the Lord, it says get close. That's in the Word of God. Read it in the epistles. You can see it there. But I wanted to read you that verse, and now I want to read you Matthew 24:8. This is in my notes. Maybe 2 months ago during the men's meeting that we had here, Pastor had asked me to speak at that men's meeting in particular, maybe two back. As I turned on Tech Road to come here that morning, I was minding my own business, trying to just, you know, think about, you know, what I was going to talk about, because what I was going to talk about wasn't what I heard. You know what I mean? I turned around that corner, I heard the Holy Spirit, and I know it was Him. I know Him. He's here. He's, you sensed His presence? He's here. He's the great teacher. He don't speak of Himself. What He hears the Father says, He speaks to us. Well, I heard Him. He said, can you tell that the birth pains have intensified? And I said, whoa, yeah. So I want to read you, with that, what I said I heard Him say, I want to read you this verse. This is Matthew 24. It is the Olivet Discourse, like I said, just like Luke 21 is. Jesus talking about the end of days. And I'll start at 6. It says, and you will hear wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, and there will be famines and earthquakes in places after place. Next verse. Here it is. And this is the beginning, the early pains of the birth pains, P-A-N-G-S, of the intolerable anguish. This was the beginning, Jesus said, of the birth pains. Well, we understand when a lady has a child, she begins to have labor, birth pains, correct? Birth pains. She has birth pains. They begin more and more intense as she gets closer to birthing the child. Amen? As we get closer to our Lord taking us out of here in the rapture of the church, we should expect an increase of the birth pains. Your King James says, this is the beginning of sorrows. Actually, the Greek says, this is the beginning of the birth pains. Now, go to 2 Timothy 3:1. We'll read you this. Pastors minister this a good bit. Amplified translation says, but understand this, that in the last days will come. Now look into parentheses here in the Greek. It says, it just won't come, but it will set in. It will set in. I made a comment, maybe from up here somewhere. I don't recall exactly where I was, but I said, we want it to get, it was that man's men's meeting. We want it to get back the way it was. It's not. It's not. Perilous times will set in. That's what it says in the Greek, and it brings out into Amplified. It says, but understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. I don't know about you all, but I've been in the Lord since 80. I've never seen it in the natural like I see it is today. I've never seen it in the natural like I see it in the day. In other words, folks, it's intensifying. The anguish, the perils, the stress is intensifying. It is to set in. It's to set in. We don't like to, well, man, brother, don't be talking. We don't want to hear it, but it's in the Word. You know, we're going to go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 says that everything that can be shook is going to shake. And the only thing that's going to stay and remain is that cannot be shaken. That's in your Bible. That's in my Bible. That's in there. We're going to go there. That's one of my notes. So where it says it will be hard to deal with and hard to bear because it will be perilous times, it will set in. Now, folks, I'm as human as any of you are and anybody that not even in the kingdom. I liked it when it was easy. You understand where I'm going from. But it ain't going to be easy like it was easy. Let's just get it out and get it right. The Word's true. You know, we can go there, we can read about the blessings of God, and they're ours. Thank God they are. We're going to get to how we can walk in the fullness of what we have in this life and this time. But folks, let's get real about where we are. The sons of Issachar, they could tell what time it was. And they could tell you, Israel, the church, what you needed to be doing. Well, brothers and sisters, that anointing's here tonight. The anointing of Issachar is here. It ain't me. It's what God's saying to the church. He's saying, you see where we are? This is where we are. And this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. We need to do like I saw that hand up here for the pastor. We need to follow that hand and move in. We need to move in that secret place. Charles Capps, in that book he wrote about the end of days before he passed, that last book he wrote on end time signs, he said the Lord showed him a funnel. And he says, as we get toward the end of days, guess what? The center of that funnel gets pretty narrow at the bottom end, don't it? And he said that. The Lord showed it to him. He said, up here, oh, you can play around. But as we get further down toward the end, you better have that line right. And he was talking about the church. And he was talking about the gray areas. And he was talking about the playing. But he was saying, you better get right here and go in. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm not being hard and cruel. I'm just telling you like it is. I mean, since 80, me, my wife, my family, it seems Brother Hagin used to teach us a lot of good stuff, and thank God for his anointing because some of it's in my life. And I'm going to tell you something he said. He says, we pray more by compulsion than we do by choice. We're compelled to pray because of dilemmas we deal with in life. But that ought not to be. We ought to want to stay in the presence of God. But I got news for you. I know personally, because of the human part of me and the human part of you, the human side of you don't want to do right till it starts getting a little hot here. And then we kind of run. You might not want to be in the secret place, but buddy, when you get a bad report, guess where you run into? The secret. Let's get real here. The secret place. Guess where you run into? The presence of God. Well, I'm here to tell you this night that you're living in the days that the Father is saying by His Spirit to His church, draw near, draw close. Amen? He's saying that to you. He's saying that to me. So, the Holy Spirit didn't tell a story here when He said there are going to be perilous times. They're going to set in. And He won't tell them the story when He said it's going to be hard to deal with and hard to bear. Yeah. That's just the truth. Amen. Now, I'm going to jump a little place. Okay, here we are in America. Blessed above all nations. But if you believe the Word of God concerning the prophecies going forth in the end of days, America's got to lose its place as a supreme nation. A nation of supremacy. This nation has to become what's called a clay nation. In other words, we have to be at the bottom at the end with the rest of them. Well, we're headed there, Bo. That's all. Excuse me, I didn't mean to say Bo, but I'm telling you, we're there. I say Bo at work all the time. But anyway, but we're getting there. We're getting there. We got to get there. We got to get there. That's why things are happening like they are. That's why all this junk's going on around. It's in the nation because guess what? We're going to be a clay nation. We're going to be down to the feet nation. The European Union's going to be over it all. The Antichrist's going to pop out of the European Union. He's going to come there. We're just going to be a clay nation. Well, we're here in America. We've had the honor and the privilege, and the pastor said so many times, and we have said so many times, we deem it a privilege to be able to worship and thank God and come together and worship God in freedom. But guess what? They want to stop that. They're moving now. You might not know it. They're moving now to try to stop that. So what do? We draw nigh. We just draw nigh to God. We just draw nigh to God. Now, I'll get away from the nation at the moment. So we're going to get away from that, and we're going to go to Romans 8 a second. I want to show you something else. Romans chapter 8. Well, we've been exhorted in the Word of God that the beginning of sorrows were starting, and we know now that our birth pains, and they're increased. We understand that Paul, by the Spirit, speaking to Timothy when he was a pastor, he said, listen, he said, in the end of days, hard times are going to set in. Get ready for them. Now, let's read you something about nature itself. Romans chapter 8, we'll read it. We'll start at verse 19 from the Amplified. Romans 8, 19 says, for even the whole creation, all of nature waits expectantly and longing and earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, disclosing of their sonship. I think King James says all creation groans to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Right? Probably what the King James says. But going on, and it says, for the creation or nature was subject to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault of its part, but by the will of Him who so subjected it, and yet with the hope that natural or nature creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and to corruption and gain again interest in the glorious freedom of God's children. So here's the kicker. We know that whole of creation has been moaning or groaning together in its pains and labor until now. Now here's all that put into a capsule. When Adam fell, creation fell under the curse. Creation don't like the curse. It don't like the thorns. It don't like the thistles. It don't like the junk. It don't like the trash. It liked it a whole lot before even the first rains came, when there was just that aurora around. That's why humanity lived so long. But that's a different teaching. And then it began to rain, and goes on, then man's Time on earth got smaller and smaller. But anyway, here's where we are. All of creation is groaning to see the manifestations of the sons of God, Mother Nature. So, part of the birth pains, part of the travail that's going to be going on and is going on, Mother Nature herself, as we call her, is going to groan louder and louder. There's your earthquakes. There's your floods. There's your drought, your famine, all that. Because creation wants to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, creation groans against the sin that fell when she fell when Adam committed high treason in the garden. But when the sin curve gets greater in the earth, Mother Nature gets madder. You need to hear that. She don't like it. Mama Nature don't like sin. I just read you that more or less. Mother Nature don't like sin. The greater the sin in the earth, the more there is a recoil of Mother Nature herself. So, it ain't the greenhouse effect. It's the sin curve in the land. And it's because we're going to the end of the age. Because Mother Nature, or creation, just like we groaning in ourselves also, it goes on to say, wants to see everything brought back in its place. Amen? So, you know, I don't even know, but the old folks, when I was growing up in the Holiness Church, excuse me, they used to say, in the end of days, you won't be able to tell the months and the seasons of the year. There's more truth to that than we realize. See, they had a hold of something. Because we're closing out the church age. So expect Mother Nature to show off. Expect evil men and seducers to wax worse and worse. Amen? That's what it says. The Master himself, Jesus, said this. He said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. Now, I don't want to bust our Christian bubble, but the truth matter is this. As we get closer to the end, and they keep calling evil good and good evil, we're going to become hated more. 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 I mean, you know, what about the folks that are dying for the cause of Christ in other nations and they're being murdered? Huh? And now we're here. You know, if we tell you what the Bible says, the government's going to try to tell us not to say what the Bible says about things. Come on now. Did you ever think that we would see that? I didn't when I was a young Christian or a young person on the earth. The things that were in the closet were kept in the closet because they were wrong, and most of the people knew they were wrong. Did you hear what I just said? They didn't come out of the closet. They weren't supposed to. They knew it was bad and wrong because most of the population had a degree of morality, and now that degree of morality is here. And, you know, so when we stand up and say what the Bible says about things, you're a hateful person. You're a hater. No, they're hating us for telling the truth. Amen? Amen. That's true. Amen. So expect creation to show off more. You know, when the tree fell and hit my house in April of last year, I got up, I was in the sunroom. You know, I had surgery in February, this was April. I got up, you know why I got up? Because on the inside, the greater one said, get up and pray now. I got up, started praying. So when the big wind came and blew the tree, the big oak tree, and the big oak tree brushed the side of my house, and my sweet little wife screamed and said, there's a tree in my bedroom. And there wasn't. The only thing that penetrated our house was one inner pane cracked. My neighbor, who's not a Christian, told me, lives down the end of the lane, she said, "You're the most lucky, unlucky person I ever knew, because of what happened as far as us getting back after all this happened." You know, the Bible says God will take what the devil does for bad and turn it around for your good. We got more and got better because of what happened than we had to start with. You understand? But here's my point about the praying part. I got up and I started pleading the blood and the angels. And I said, "Father, thank you for protecting my property. Thank you for protecting my home. Thank you in Jesus' name." Bam! But it just brushed the house. Got pictures if you want to see them. Got more than we had. Got a bunch of stuff done, didn't have to pay for. Pay for some things done we needed to get done, but we didn't pay one fourth of what would have had to pay. Amen. God blessed us. Amen. So that, listen, you use that principle with anything you're dealing with creation or humanity hating you. Amen. Anything going on in the beginning of the birth pains that are intensifying, because the birth pains are intensifying. Amen. So, next point. Expect this. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Israel will be a boiling pot, a stumbling stone to all the nations of the earth. And it says all, when it says all means U.S. too, okay? All the nations of the earth will turn against Israel. Zechariah 12, 1 through 3. Expect it. Matter of fact, I almost put it on Facebook. You know, they were having all this mess, and it's mess, when they were shooting at Israel and blaming Israel for responding and defending themselves, and, you know, they went the other way with it, the secular world did. Huh? Did you see that? Well, expect it, but guess what? That's one sovereign nation set up by God that's going to stand through it all. That's one nation that you're told in the Word of God to pray for. Amen. That's one nation that Jesus Christ is going to come back to, and it ain't going to be annihilated. Jesus is going to set his foot down right there. That's going to happen. But expect it. Expect the hatred to intensify against her. And it will. And you know, we got people in leadership now that's talking about turning on her. So, I'm not. I'm praying for her. Amen. And you are too, right? Because the Word tells us to, correct? Okay. Now I'm going to just read from you my notes that I wrote this afternoon. As the church age gets closer and closer to its end, the birth pains will and are increasing. Evil men and seducers are and will continue to wax worse and worse. Listen to this. The cup of iniquity will continue to fill up and tip over. Creation will increase its groaning, causing the signs of the ends in nature that Jesus talked about. All that can be shaken will be shook. Go to Hebrews 12 a second. That's where we're going. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't let this invoke any fear in you. If anything, just use it to draw yourself closer to the presence of God. That's what all this is about. Let me say this. To be truthful about it, we ought to be excited. To be truthful about it, we ought to be happy. Because it's the Word being fulfilled before our eyes. It's the Word being fulfilled concerning the coming of our Lord. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, when you see these things, look up. Look up. Look up. Look up, look up, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Look up. Don't get dismal. Don't get down. Don't get scared. Look up. Because we're going to take off. We're going to take off. In a twinkling of an eye. Oh, we're going to go. We're going to go. Oh, I had a sister that was a great witness to me, Miss Becky. Great witness to me. Went on to be with the Lord. I was in the yard thinking about it. I talked to Pastor James about some of it. I heard the Lord say, oh, she's just in that crowd now. She's just in that crowd now. What crowd? What crowd? That great crowd of witnessing that's saying, go on and run it. Run your race. Run your, hey, guess what? We're on the last lap. We're going around the corner, Bubba. There's the finish line. You know what's pointing to the finish line? The signs, the signs, the signs. There's the finish line. We're getting ready to go. Oh, glory to God. Huh? Don't get down. If you're scared, bless your heart. Don't be scared. I told my boy, he's been dealing with some stuff. He might be listening. I love you, Brian. By the way, Brian, your name means strength. Remember that. Did you know that? Brian means strong. So you strong. You ain't weak. I told my boy, I said, don't worry about it. Look up. Be happy. Glory to God. Oh, let me exhort you with some word here. We got it, but you know we ought to be happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. You know when my daddy died, the day my daddy died, I get there. The day my daddy died, the day my daddy died, that morning he told my mama, he said, I'm going home today. Mama said, they're going to let you out of the hospital today, baby, and go to the house. Oh, no, I'm going to be with the Lord. He said, if Coward knew what was happening today, he'd be here. That was his pastor. He was out of town. Mama said, why? Because I'm going home today. He looked up. He said, good morning, Jesus. That afternoon, my daddy went into a coma. They called me. I went running down there. He was in a coma, but his spirit, soul, and body, and I knew it. I went and grabbed his right hand, but my right hand, he's laying there with his eyes open, his mouth up, and I said, Daddy, you going home today? Mama said, you going home today. You want to go home today? Daddy went. I said, bless God, we're not going to keep you here. I said, we're not going to keep you here. I said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to be with the Lord, which is far better. He went home. My sister, she went home the other day. She's up there rooting me on. You know it, don't you, Bet? She's up there rooting. They know when we're doing what God called us to do. They know when you're doing what God called you to do. They don't know a lot of the natural things, but they know when you're doing what God called them to do. You got that? You got that? You keep that. You keep it. So when you get one to go home, remember, do what they told you to do. Talking about the things of God. Do it. Oh, God. Oh, Pastor, you need to stop me when I need to stop. Now, I don't know the number. Here we go. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 25. Here we go. So see to it that you do not listen and reject him and listen and refuse to listen to and heed him who is speaking to you now. For if they, Israel, did not escape when they refused to listen and heed him who warned and divinely instructed them on the earth, how much less shall we escape if we reject and turn back on him who cautions and admonishes us from heaven? That's pretty strong, isn't it? There went eternal security right out the door right there. Oh, that's Tony. Anyway, let us therefore receive a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offered to God pleasing service and acceptable worship and moderate pious care and godly fear and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Notice I skipped verse 27. I'm going to go back to it. This is the reason why. Now, this expression yet once more indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken. That is, that which has been created, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue. So what does that say? Brother, it's going to shake. If it's in you and it ain't God, it's going to shake. If it's in your life and it ain't God, it's going to shake. I'm just going to flatjack tell you, I'm praying that if it ain't God in me, shake it, Lord. Shake it, Lord. Come on now. Let's get real here. We can't play church. We're in the end of days. We're at the close of the age. Issachar told him, he said, we know where you are. We're telling you what to do. So what's he telling us to do? Get close. Get close. Yeah. Amen. Because it's going to shake. It's going to shake. Yeah. Come on, get real. It's going to shake. Yeah. I've been in the Lord, like I said, since 80. I've been shook. Yeah. When I refused to shake, guess who shook? He shook me. Yeah. Come on, get real. He shook me. He shook me. He will do that. He will chasten you. He loves you enough. Yes, you're not bastards. You're His children. Excuse me. He's going to shake you. Yes. He's going to deal with you. He's going to chasten you. Yes. He wants just the word to do like Jesus said, you're clean by the words that I've spoken unto you. Yes. But the bottom line, so many of us is hard-headed, yes, stubborn. Yes. That's just the truth. So my exhortation here is that, guess what? It's going to shake. Why don't you just pull it off if you know it ain't supposed to be there? Get it off, you know? You know, just take it off. I don't need that. Why am I even carrying that? Huh? You know, going back to the witnessing in heaven, the great crowd, my sister and all, it said, peel off all the weight. Peel off the sin that so easily besets you. Take it off so you can run. Well, brothers and sisters, we're around the corner. There's the finish line. You want to get there? Let's just yank that off and go. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm almost 1 Peter 4:17-18 says this. Maybe we need to read that. Yeah, okay. Do y'all know what 1 Peter 4:7-8 says? We're going to read it. 17? 1 Peter 4:17, Amplified. For the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not respect, believe, and obey the good news of God? Verse 18, and if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the godless and wicked? I think we forget these verses sometimes. Judgment begins with us. Before full judgment hits the earth, brothers and sisters, God's going to judge us. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. The same Holy Spirit wrote that. It said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. The same Holy Spirit that said that. Yeah. Yeah. The same Holy Spirit that said, I'll be with you in trouble. Right. And show you my salvation said, judgment's going to start with the church first now. So be ready. Amen. Be ready. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right. Glory. Glory. Now, I already said this, but in the notes, 1 Chronicles 12:32 said the sons of Issachar had understanding of the things and knew what the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. That anointing tells us where we are in the church age and what we ought to do. That's what he's saying tonight. Where are we in the church age? We're in the close of days. Jesus could come any moment, no doubt. But while we're here, He's exhorted us to get close. I've said this before, and it bears repeating again. When all the plagues hit Egypt, and Israel was there, first of all, Joseph said to them, he said, go to Joshua, I mean, Gosha. He said, I'm going to put you in Gosha, told his brothers, and go get daddy, we're going to put you in Gosha. And he went on, he said, because I want to draw near to you, and I want you near. The word Gosha means, in the Hebrew, drawing near. Many years ago, I've said this here before, but it bears repeating, especially today. Many years ago, we were walking in Bennettsville, my wife and I, in front of the police station and Dr. Goldberg, the dentist's office. I'll never forget where my foot was. I put my right foot down and I saw clouds on the horizon. The Lord said, there are going to be some clouds coming. And I said, I see them. And understand what a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So God's time span, that was just like a second ago. Did you get that? Second ago. Clouds gathering. But I also heard, I said, Lord, in my heart, I said, clouds coming. But I heard him say, but there was plenty in Gosha. Brothers and sisters, I didn't even know where Gosha was. I had to go home because I knew the Holy Spirit said, there's plenty in Gosha. I went home and studied it. That's where Israel was when the plagues came. There was light in Gosha when it was dark in Egypt.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Gosha means draw near. So, Tony, what are you saying, my brother? I'm saying it's time just to draw near and to be happy. Because He's coming back. And my heavens, what are we here for? We're here to reach the lost and win the lost. And do you know, as you draw closer to the Lord, the presence of the Lord gets more enhanced and more made manifested in your life, to the point that, you know, you are a greater witness to other people. When I retired last Friday, one of my old bosses called me on the phone, and I had forgot. He called me up from where he's at another store, and he said, I just want to tell you. He said, when I went through so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, I just wanted, he was telling me this on the phone. They had this little deal where I felt like I was in one of these roasting things. They had me sitting on the chair, had the two big bosses there and a bunch of employees, they call them associates now, was there, and they fixed me a bunch of stuff and gave me a bunch of gifts because I was leaving, and But this guy was on the phone. The other guy handed me the phone. He said, David wants to talk to you. David made a comment to me on the phone. He said, I just want to tell you. And I about started crying. He said, I want to tell you, when I lost my mama and I was with you, he said, I'll never forget the way you helped me. When I went through this situation at home and I talked to you, I'll never forget what you said to me. And he told me on the phone, he says, I just want to tell you. He said, your work ethic is superb. He says, but I'm going to tell you something. The times that you minister to my need, he said, I'll never forget. But I about started crying. I mean, you know, I had forgot it. I don't even know where it is. I don't even remember it all. But I had. But the Spirit of God knew what to say. So, Tony, what are you saying? I'm saying as we draw near to the Father, His presence become more magnified in our life, and we speak His word instead of our word, and we exercise His ways instead of our ways, and we share His compassion and not just our own self. Amen? That's what we do. That's what we do. So, we are to draw near. Now, I've told you a lot that's going down, as we call it, the world. Man, a lot going down. There is. But a lot going down. But nothing's happening that we wasn't told was going to happen. That's exciting. And we have a remedy. Now, the last little bit of my notes I got, what are we to do? See, I wrote this today. Ephesians 5:15-16. You can go there if you like. It says, amplified, look careful then how you walk. Live purposefully, worthfully, and accurately. Not as the unwise and witless, but be as wise. Verse 16, I think it says King James, redeeming the time. It says in amplified, making the very most of the time. Bind up each opportunity. I studied the Greek word for redeeming the time, for the days are evil. The word redeeming, it means buy back. How do you buy back? Think about that. How do you buy back time? How do you buy back time? When you're moving with the Spirit of this Lord, when you're moving with the Spirit of the Lord in His time frame of doing what He's having you to do, you're covering more than natural time. Yes, sir. So you're buying back time. Yes, sir. When you're moving with the Lord, you know, remember what Moses said? He said, I'm not going unless you go. Said that. Moses says, I'm not going unless you go. For who are we? We're no one unless your Spirit goes with us. So getting back to how you buy back time. When you're moving with the Lord, you're buying back time. Yes, sir. Getting back to what I said, for the time or distance in the Spirit, you're buying back time. You're getting things done. Bob Yandian said this long, long time ago at school. He said, if you give God His time, you'll see Him stretching your natural time. And that's sister raising her hand. Amen. He'll just cause things to work in a better fashion for you. You know, I like to work on my old cars, but I sure ain't a very good mechanic, but I try real hard. But if I'm doing what He wants me to do, instead of me taking 2 hours to change a bolt, I could take 30 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? But Brother Yanian said that years ago. He said, you get busy doing what the Father wants you to do. He said, and He will redeem your, oh, there is, that's the word. He will redeem your time. In other words, He'll buy back time for you. Hallelujah. If I learned something right here, right then, He'll buy it for you. So what do? Paul said to the church at Ephesus here, King James says, walk circumspect, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Walk circumspect. Another translation says, walk your closest walk. It says right here, make every move count. Be careful. Move accurately in your walk. Taking every opportunity to bring back time for Him. Well, that's what we do. Amen? That's what we do. Well, what are you saying, Tony B? I'm gonna share some tips and then I'll quit. I've talked about this before, maybe here. The Bible says there was a gentleman in the book of Genesis named Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. That's what it says in the Hebrew. His habit was that he walked with God. Well, Enoch was not. He was translated. He was raptured. The writer of the Hebrew talking about Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Enoch. He said it this way. He said Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Yes, sir. So we're to walk circumspect, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We're to walk in habitual fellowship with God. It should be our habit. You know, when God moves, you need to move. You know, I had a prophet tell me one time that I was, I won't say everything he said, it was pretty rough. But he said I was hard to start and hard to stop. I took note of that. I said, well, Lord, I want to move when you move. Sit still when you sit still. Move when you move. We need to walk with God. Amos 3:3 says this, how can you walk together unless you have an appointment? That's what it says in the Hebrew. So here you go. You need to make an appointment to walk with God. You need to set an appointment. That should be your desire, in other words. An appointment is a meeting place, right? I'm going here. Bam. I think the King James says, how can two walk together lest, yes, they agree. But you need to get a place of agreement that you're going to walk with God. You need to agree with God. When He says, go talk to them about me, you need to go. When He tells you to get up and read, you need to do it. When He says, cut the TV off and spend some time with me, you need to do it. When He tells you to go in there and apologize to your wife, you need to do it. When He tells you to go in there and do this for your husband, you need to do it. When He tells you, young man, don't be looking for a woman, let me send you one, you need to do it. That's walking with God. That's obeying what He's telling you to do. The word Enoch, the Hebrew word for Enoch brings out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 principles. And we're not going to have time to hit them, but maybe one time we will, because I could take all five and do an hour on each. The word Enoch means, one definition for Enoch is train up. Train up. Train up. Another one is dedicate. Another definition of Enoch, it comes from, these words come from the Hebrew word Enoch. Discipline. Another one means to narrow. Remember what Jesus said? King James has got it mistranslated. It says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but it's really the narrow gate and the straight way. Correct. You know, you understand that. But Jesus said that the way that you find it is to go through the narrow gate and go the straight way. The narrow gate. It also means to initiate. Those five words come from the root word that Enoch is translated into Hebrew. You want to walk with God? Let God do the initiation in your life. Let Him initiate your moves, like we said earlier. But then again, understand what initiation is also. The Bible tells you to stir up the gift that's within you. And then the Bible says, Peter said this, he says, I remind you of the things to stir you up. Let the ministry gifts, let other brothers, let other sisters in the kingdom of God stir you up or initiate you, get you cranked up. But you're to initiate this part. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, where it may not be ashamed. Right, divide the word proof. Jesus said, John 8:31-8:32, if you continue in my word, you become my disciples. Indeed, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? The Bible says to pray. You initiate that. Pray without ceasing. That means have a lifestyle where you're in fellowship with the Lord and in prayer. Amen? The Bible says this. And see, this points to my point about the sons of Issachar knew what time it was. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 10:25. Our sister talked about this Sunday morning. She's an excellent teacher. I enjoy her, that sister. But she talked about fellowshipping in church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of the brethren, even the more, as you see the day approaching. As you see the day. So there should be a perception in us to see the closeness of the coming of the Lord. Amen. Correct? Amen. Amen. That's the Bible. That's the Word. And of course, discipline. Jesus said, you can't be a disciple unless you continue in my Word. Correct? That's true. And dedicate. You need to set your life unto the Lord, you know. Amen. And we're going to close. But we're going to pray. But I just encourage you. Well, Tony, you've told us a lot of stuff to expect at the end of days. Yeah. And we all see it. We can be happy. You know, John saw some pretty rough stuff when he was on the Isle of Patmos when he wrote Revelations. You remember that? But what did he say? He said, but come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hey, listen, we should be a happy bunch. I'm happier tonight about what I see going on, knowing that he's getting ready to take us out of here and knowing he's just asking me to walk close. And he did that to start with anyway, folks. Come on, let's get real about it. Amen. He calls us to walk close. And in closing, I want to say this. If you've been endued with power from on high and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you spoke with other tongues, I exhort you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. Just like all the day, just walking around in the yard and all. Just praying. Because my spirit's in direct contact to the Father of spirits. My spirit's picking up on what He's saying to me. I'm praying out ahead of things. You're living today in something that you did or did not pray out yesterday. And that's just a reality that a lot of Christians don't even realize. So in closing, I want to pray. Father, we just thank You so much. Thank You for this opportunity, Father, to be here and to be in this house. Thank You, Father God, that we recognize, we know, and we understand, Father God, where we are now more than we have. Father God, thank You that it's still